Time to move on to the month of June here tomorrow, but we pray that you are having a great and glorious day. So we are going to return to the Word of God today, to the book of Acts chapter 4. Here a few weeks ago I was teaching Sunday school, and I said, okay, we're going to begin reading in verse number, whatever verse it was, and people said, where? What book? It's like, oh yeah, I'm not brand new to this, but some days I just tend to forget to mention some pertinent information. So we are going to go to Acts chapter 4. While you're turning there, do want to invite you out to church this Sunday. It is Communion Sunday for us. It is also Pentecost Sunday. And I will be preaching a message that God's laid on my heart for this coming weekend, and would encourage you to come and be a part of that. We are thankful for the ministry of God the Father. We are thankful for the ministry of God the Son, Jesus. And we are thankful for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we pray that we're helping to raise up a group of believers that causes the kingdom of darkness to shudder at what God is going to do through his people. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. And we would love for you to be doing great exploits for God. That's this Sunday, 10:30 of a morning. So let's begin reading today, Acts chapter 4. I'm gonna go up to where the people, Peter and John and his companions, had just came together and found out of everything that was going on, and then they started to pray. Verse number 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, the anointed one or Messiah. Why did the nations rage? So verse number 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness, excuse me, they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So in verse number 25, Luke, who's the author of the book of Acts, says, who by the mouth of your servant David have said. In other words, God was speaking prophetically through King David. And what David had said as a mouthpiece for God was, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So one of the most popular verses that people like to quote is, if God be for us, who can be against us? But, and that statement is true, but not everybody is for the things of God. And so God is not going to operate in such a manner that he propels your agenda if your agenda is hostile to his plans and purposes in this life. So several years ago, I was doing a teaching on purity, and I ran across a verse, and it's in two places. It's in Psalm 18. I think it's in 1 Samuel 22, maybe 2 Samuel 22. And it says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. Let me just go back there just a second so that I get this quoted to you correctly. If not, you'll hear the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version of May the 31st, 2022. So, in the New King James Version, it says this: with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. So, another translation for that first verse of Psalm 18:25 is, with the faithful, you show yourself faithful, or to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. But to the devious or to the crooked, you will show yourself shrewd. And what I realized was that where we are, how we are operating, determines how God is able to reveal himself to us. And so I, at one point in time, we owned a Ford Tempo. I had never paid any attention to a Ford Tempo in my life. I really didn't. I think I knew one person that had had one. And all of a sudden, because I was driving a Ford Tempo, I started seeing Ford Tempos all around. My wife and I, when we were expecting our first child, all of a sudden I saw pregnant women all over the place, couples that were expecting babies. And many times where you are causes you to see and recognize what is going on around you. Well, if you are a merciful person, you're going to understand. You're going to see the mercy of God. If you're a faithful person, God is going to show himself faithful to you. If you're blameless, if you're doing things the right way, you are going to see, you are going to experience, it's going to be revealed to you that God does that even better than you do. To the pure, you show, God shows himself pure. But to the crooked, he shows himself shrewd, and that means that he stands in opposition to the path that they are pursuing, because their path is one of destruction, not one of life. And because he is standing there in opposition, his goal is to get you right back on the path of righteousness, where he can be for you. So even in his opposition, he's working on your benefit. Like I watched a clip, an old video clip, and is talking about some of the most unique plays in football history. And a person had picked up a fumble, and they were running the wrong way. They were about He thought he was running it in for a touchdown for himself, but he was about to take a safety. And one of his own players tackled him before he got to the end zone. It wasn't that guy was against him. They were on the same side. And so I just want you to know that even though God is for you, if you have rallied against him, I've got a note here that is written down. And the note is this: you've got to understand the limitations of unity. You've got to understand the limitations of united opposition to God. Okay? It does not matter if 8.1 billion people on the planet gathered in opposition to God, God would still be God. It does not matter the military might. In fact, you can read in the scriptures, and it describes over and over again that there are going to be numerous occasions where mankind is going to gather in united opposition to God, and in each one of those occurrences, God is going to come away victorious. So here it says, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So how does this apply to this text? In verse number 27, it says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Okay, so here's the spiritual truth that Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles and the Roman soldiers, as well as the people of Israel, all of them had gathered in opposition to God. And so David says, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that? And the truth is this, that God's plans cannot and will not be thwarted. So I want to take you all the way back to the book of Job, the book of Job, chapter 42. So it's right before the book of Psalms. And in verse number 1, Job 42 says this, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." That no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 26. Let's go up to verse number 24. "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" And so one translation says this, that God's plans will not be thwarted. They will not be hindered. They will not be restrained. What God has purposed is going to come to pass. So I don't know about you, but when I hear that, I want to be a child of God. I want to be living with the purpose of God in operation in my life, because no matter what opposition shows up, it's not going to stop the plan of God. So here's what it says that it happened when all of this united opposition to God's purpose and plan took place. They were gathered together, and they did whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. The Amplified Version says this, "Without knowing it, they and it goes on to say, they brought your plan and purpose into reality. You see, Jesus was going to go to the cross. He was going to be crucified. He was going to die. He was going to be raised from the dead on the third day. And nothing hell could do could move up the timeline. We'll see that a little bit later this week, I believe. And nothing hell could do was going to stop it. I will also tell you this, because of the plans of God, the plans of hell are thwarted a bunch. I would love to say that they're thwarted all the time, but that would involve everybody operating in accordance with God's purpose and plans in life. And unfortunately, that just is not the reality. There are too many people who fight against God. So I have told people this. I have the gift of stubborn. But my gift of stubborn is not stubborn against the things of God. My gift of stubborn is for the things of God. So when God said it, I'm going to stubbornly hold on to it and stubbornly persist in believing what God has said. So they said here that even though all of this opposition had happened, that what God, what his hand and his purpose had determined that was going to be done, it was done. So now I have to ask you this question, because there were people who were opposed to the plan of God in the book of Acts. There are people who are opposed to the plan of God now. How are you going to respond if there is united opposition to the plan and purpose that God has for you in your life? I can tell you that one of the biggest challenges that my mother ever faced was when I pursued the call of God upon my life, and it took me out of the realm where she could see me every day. And it wasn't that she was opposed to the call of God on my life. She wasn't. She wasn't opposed to me fulfilling the call of God on my life. It was just a sad day for her, because and whenever I would visit for those first several years, every time I drove off to return back to my assignment, it was a struggle for her. She eventually got better, but she always wanted me to move back to where she was, because she wanted to be close. She wanted me to be close. But here's where a lot of people are when it comes to opposition to the plans and the purposes of God, which are going to come to pass. And that is this. Many people, whenever they face opposition, they just automatically conclude, whoops, I must have chosen poorly, I must have chosen badly, and because of this opposition, I need to quit. Where I believe that many times that the opposition of the enemy demonstrates exactly the opposite of that. I believe that the opposition of the enemy causes us to know, hey, if the devil is fighting this hard, we must be doing something correctly. You know, we need to get beyond the concept that everything must be easy. You know, we live in a day and time where we have so many conveniences. We had done some renovations, and we moved from a portable dishwasher to an under-the-counter dishwasher. It was an upgrade. It was an upgrade. The portable dishwasher, we went through many generations of those, and one of them leaked and damaged the cabinet, so we got new cabinets and things like that. But you know what? My mother had three dishwashers when I was growing up. There was myself and my two siblings. And we didn't have one of those under the counters. We didn't have the portable kind. We didn't have any of that stuff. She had us: one washed, one dried, one put away. That was how we handled the dishes. We have so many conveniences. I remember watching a documentary of a guy building a cabin in the untamed regions of Alaska. Back in the 50s or the 60s, I believe it was, and he built it all by himself, and he built it without power tools. He built it with hand tools. And, you know, now you could see, let's see, what was the name of that program? We don't get to watch it anymore. Off building off the grid or something like that. Well, now they come in there with cranes, and they come in there with concrete trucks and power tools and generators and all that sort of stuff. We have so many conveniences, and if we hit a bump, we's like, what is this? don't so quickly throw in the towel just because you face opposition. Allow that opposition to mobilize you to seek the face of God and pray with greater determination than you ever have before. So look at verse number 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So Peter and John weren't throwing in the towel. They had just seen a guy get healed, supernaturally healed. They were excited because the work of the ministry of Jesus was not done. It was just getting ready to change gears. It was going to move into the hands of the disciples and the deacons and the saints of God. And there was going to be great things that were accomplished. And so in verse number 29, they said, God, we understand that we're facing opposition now the way that Jesus faced opposition then. And we're praying right now, God, for you to look on their threats. Look on their threats. Okay? Nothing the enemy does is ever going to catch God by surprise. So I have a computer game that I play. It's a computer chess program. My wife does not like to play chess. And so there's just two of us in the house. And so I will occasionally play a game of chess. And many times, and I've got it set to where it doesn't annihilate me every time. And there are many times when I can put my hand to do something, and then it's like, oh, that wouldn't be good. That wouldn't be good. And so whenever that happens, it's like, let's do something different. Because there's an undo button on that computer program. So don't be afraid to call out to God and say, God, look, we are living under a threat that the enemy has issued against us as we are representing you here on this earth. Remember, this prayer started pretty early on with a reference to David. David faced opposition to the anointing on his life from his own king. From his own king. He had a threat against God's call on his life from the Philistines. He had a threat against God's call on his life from his own household. And so whenever those threats occur, say, God, I want you to look on this threat. I want you to see what's going on, and God, I want to ask you to respond by equipping us with everything that we need to continue to do what your hand has set before us and what you have purposed during this time. I don't know about you, but if a guy had just been healed, I'm pretty sure that the next day that there's other sick people that are going to be looking for the same sort of thing to happen in their life. Folks, I want to encourage you to begin to pray and ask God, God, would you give me the boldness that I need in my life so that the Word of God can go forth, not just historically, not just in other people's lives, but that the Word of God may go forth in my life. I shared this story recently. There was an actress, and she had been raised to believe that God was just a figment of her imagination, or he was an enemy against her, and most of all, do not trust Christians because they're just horrible, mean, and abusive people. And that was the atmosphere in which she was raised, and so she had never become a Christian. But she had a friend who had a similar background to her, and she had a question about a Bible verse that she had heard. And so she reached out to her friend, who was a Christian, and the friend answered her question. She gave her a Bible, and she invited her to church. And when that happened, that lady, all of a sudden, for the first time in her life, saw that God loved her, that he cared for her, that he died on the cross for her, and it changed her life. And her response was, I have never known peace the way that I know it right now. And I want you to know that God does not love her any more than anybody here in Brevard County. We just need to be bold. We need the boldness and the courage that comes from God so that we can live the life and love even those who have the wrong attitude about God and the wrong attitude about believers. We need to live it and love them into the kingdom of God so that they can see God is faithful, God is merciful, God is blameless, God is pure, God is for them, and he's working all things together for the good of those that love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. May God give you boldness to live out the word today. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. Washes over.